And we're going to be in Corinthians. We're starting our study in 1 Corinthians. So you can turn to 1 Corinthians and just kind of find it. If you need to, you can look in the index of your Bible, or you can turn to page 1,223. That's where it is in my Bible, and see how you do. I want you to picture your pastor up in B.C. as I go up there every year, and I pray about, you know, what are we supposed to do in the fall, Lord, and what's the teaching going to be, and what part of Scripture. And there I was, and I was prayerfully studying another part of Scripture. It wasn't 1 Corinthians. I'm not going to tell you what it was. But I was really hoping, I was praying, and I had books about it, and I was just really into it. And the more I prayed and I thought and I studied, the more I just felt the Lord saying, Corinthians. It's Corinthians. And I felt the Lord bringing to my heart this theme verse from Corinthians. It's chapter 1 and verse 18. It goes like this. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. That was the verse. It just kept coming over and over again. The cross of Christ, the message of the cross, it's the power of God in the life of the believer. The world thinks it's crazy. The world thinks it's foolish. But it's the power of God in our lives. And I felt like the Lord said, we need to go there. We need to go there. I want you to be praying. This Sunday is just an introduction to this whole thing. I'm going to introduce you to some ideas today to get you going. But you know the main thing is this, the main purpose in my heart for this morning is I want to ask you to pray. I seriously want to ask you to pray to see the power of God work in our lives, in our church, and in our community. The power of God. The Christian faith is about power. It's as simple as that. The Christian faith was birthed in an act of power. Jesus Christ rose again on the third day from the grave, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's power. And that was the beginning of the Christian faith. The Christian church began with an act of power. The Lord told his disciples, wait in Jerusalem until you receive the promise of the Father. And he told them that they would be baptized with the Holy Spirit and with power. And it happened in Acts chapter 2. The Holy Spirit came upon them. And Peter got up on that day of Pentecost and he preached his first sermon. And 3,000 people came to faith in Jesus Christ in a city that had put Christ to death not long before. That's power. Every Christian life, the life of every Christian believer, begins with an act of power. And that is when the Holy Spirit comes to you and calls you by name and draws you to personal faith in Jesus Christ. That is an absolute act of power. And every Christian life is sustained by power, the power of God. But here's the deal. We talk about power, and you know, some people feel uncomfortable with that. Like, what do you mean power? Okay? Well, here's the deal. Here's the deal. It's just a life lesson, and it's profound, and it's amazing. The message of the cross is foolishness to the world around us. But to those who are being saved, it is the power of God. We're going to go on a journey for several months together, and we're going to be learning about the power of the cross in the life of the believer, in the life of the Christian church. And my expectation is that our lives will change because of it and that the world around us will change because of it. I want to ask you to pray. Would you please pray? Lord, send your power. Lord, may I experience your power in my life. Lord, may our church experience your power in the midst of our church. Lord, may we extend your power and see your power at work in the world all around us. And if you pray that prayer, God will fulfill that prayer in large part by bringing you deeper into the life of Christ and the cross of Jesus Christ. And so it's all very intense. See, that's why I was thinking, we've got to do something else. This is just intense. This is the most intense thing ever. I mean, you know, the cross. I'm going to, you know, start with the cross of Christ. And, you know, yeah, that's what we're doing. That's what we're doing. Because it's powerful. This morning, I'm going to introduce you to some people. I want to introduce you to some people whose lives were absolutely changed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. Some of them are sitting around you. Some of them are in the Bible. We're going to look at the early church at Corinth, the Apostle Paul. Priscilla and Aquila, Silas, Timothy, a guy named Crispus, Titius Justus, Sosthenes. These are names, you go, these names don't mean a whole lot to me. These were the names of the lives that God called together to begin a work in this place called Corinth, and it was an absolute act of power. They experienced the power of God in their lives. Lesson number one in this whole thing is that God calls people by name to come to faith in Jesus Christ and to follow in faith. He calls us by name. He calls you by name. Take a look at Corinthians chapter 1. We're going to read verses 1 through 3 this morning, then we're going to go to the book of Acts. Verse 1, Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be holy, together with all those everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and our brother Sosthenes. And in that first verse of Corinthians, Paul summarizes the story that we find in the book of Acts, because the first name in the story of Corinth is Paul, and the last name in Acts 18 is Sosthenes. And between Paul and Sosthenes, there's a whole group of people whose lives God had touched and called to faith in Jesus Christ, and he was transforming their lives and literally changing the world through them. Lesson number one in our studies in the book of Corinthians is that God knows you by name. He calls you to faith in Jesus Christ, and the power of God is drawing you to a deeper relationship of trust and faith in Jesus Christ. So here's what I want to do. I want to go to the book of Acts now, and I want to get our bearings, a little background about this story of God establishing a church at Corinth. The Apostle Paul, he's on one of his missionary journeys. He's traveling around through what is now presently Greece. He's come down from Macedonia, from Philippi. He's been through Athens, the intellectual center of the ancient world. Socrates, Plato, Aristotle, all those guys hung out in Athens, an amazing place. After he left Athens, it says, Acts 18, verse 1, after this, Paul left Athens and he went to Corinth. And there he met a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had ordered all the Jews to leave Rome. And Paul went to see them. And because he was a tent maker, as they were, he stayed and worked with them, and every Sabbath he reasoned in the synagogue, trying to persuade Jews and Greeks. If ever there was a man who was on a mission from God, it was the Apostle Paul. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Apostle means someone who's sent on a mission. And if ever there was a guy sent on a mission, it's the Apostle Paul. But he didn't start that way. Paul's life is a story of a life transformed by the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came and called him by name and called him to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, just like he comes and he calls you by name to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul was a Christ hater. The Apostle Paul was a man who was raised in Judaism, a very religious man, a religious leader, a Pharisee, who hated Christians and pursued them and persecuted them. And then one day, he literally had his mind blown by an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord calls us to faith in the most amazing ways. The Lord knows exactly what you need to come to faith in Jesus Christ. You have your own story, just like Paul had a story. I have my story. God knows what you need to come in faith, and He's drawing us, each and every one, to faith in Christ Jesus. The story of Paul is amazing. I'm going to go back. We're just kind of hopscotch a bit. Go to Acts chapter 9, and let's look at the conversion of the Apostle Paul. Now, the Apostle Paul is my hero. For those of you who don't like Paul, then we have a problem, because the guy is my hero. He's a hero of the faith. He's amazing. He's the guy that I want to be. The Apostle Paul. Here's the story of his conversion. Acts chapter 9. Meanwhile, Saul, formerly his name was Saul, and when he became a Christian, he changed his name to Paul. Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. You know, the Greek here, he's breathing out. I mean, this guy is so into it that it's like from the deepest part of his being, hatred is just spewing forth. He's just breathing out. Have you ever met someone who's got an attitude problem like that? They're just like, that's the way this guy was. He hated. You get around him and the whole air would just go poison with Christ hatred. He went to the high priest and he asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. The way. Notice Christianity is called the way. Isn't that interesting? It was one of the earliest titles for Christianity was the way. It's the way of Christ. It's following in the way of Jesus. It is the way of salvation through Jesus Christ. I love that it's put that way. And so he says, hey, if there's any who are of this way of Jesus Christ, then he says, we want to put him in prison. Verse 3, as he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him, and he fell to the ground, and he heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? Saul asked. I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting, he replied. Now, I can imagine that was a difficult moment for the Apostle Paul. He's got letters in his hand. He's dragging Christians off to prison. He's breathing out hatred for Jesus Christ and the way and those who follow in the way of Jesus Christ. And now he's flat on his back, looking up at a bright light and going, oh, crud. This is not a good thing. The Lord knows exactly what each and every one of us needs to come to faith in Jesus Christ. And for some of us, we need to be knocked down and basically have the crud beat out of us by Jesus so that we might come to faith. He knows exactly what it is that we need. His conversion was quick. I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. Verse 6, now get up and go into the city and you will be told what to do. The men traveling with Saul stood speechless. They heard the sound but did not see anyone. And Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. And so they led him by the hand into Damascus. And for 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. So the Lord said, I'll tell you what, I'll let you think about that for 3 days. He just like, boom, think about it for 3 days. How's that? And after 3 days, the brother in the Lord prayed for him and his eyes were healed and he immediately began to preach Jesus Christ. Now, this is a radical conversion. This is amazing. The contemporary equivalent of this conversion would be if Osama bin Laden. Seriously. You know how he likes to send those videos out? We just had one. The next video, Osama comes out and he says to the world, he says, I'd like to apologize. I've been wrong about a lot of things. And I want you to know that I've received Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. And I would like to proclaim Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior of all. That would be radical, wouldn't it? Same deal. Same deal. That's an act of power. The Lord Jesus Christ has touched and transformed so many lives. Each one is an individual story. And so one day, not so long after that, Apostle Paul comes walking by himself into the city of Corinth. He's a changed, transformed man, and he has a gospel to proclaim to a needy world, and he walks by himself into the city of Corinth. And God is going to use this changed life and this message of the gospel to literally transform the world. Isn't that awesome? God works in amazing ways to bring people to faith in Christ. Go back to Acts chapter 18. Paul left Athens. He went to Corinth. Now, there he met a Jew, verse 2 of Acts 18. There he met a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla because Claudius had ordered all the Jews to leave Rome. And Paul went to see them. And because he was a tent maker, as they were, he stayed and worked with them. And every Sabbath he reasoned in the synagogue, trying to persuade Jews and Greeks. Here we meet Aquila and Priscilla. They're Jews. They're from a place called Pontus, which is over by the Black Sea. But they had been in Rome. What is the deal with Aquila and Priscilla? It does not record that they came to faith in Christ. The other people in Corinth, it says, Crispus, he came to faith in Jesus Christ. It tells us a little bit about them. In the book of Corinthians, it tells us names of people who were converted. But Aquila and Priscilla, it does not tell us of their conversion. Most people believe that they were already Christians, that they were already followers of Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, there's a really interesting thing that happened in history. Now, Caesar, Claudius, had ordered all the Jews to leave Rome. Did you see that? Right? In verse 2? All the Jews got kicked out of Rome. Why did that happen? There's a really interesting reference in history that there was a commotion because of a man named Crestus. And because of that, Claudius expelled all the Jews from Rome. Crestus is a Latin spelling of the name Christ. It is believed that there was an uproar amongst the Jews because Christianity had come to Rome. And when it first came, it hit the fan like it did everywhere else. Everywhere where the gospel came and where Jews began to convert to Christianity, it caused an uproar. It caused riots. It caused controversy and problems. And the Jews were sort of already pesky to the Romans. They didn't know what to do with them. So when this whole thing started with Christ, with Crestus, with this new name, Claudius said, I've had enough. Get him out of here. Get him out. And the leaders, the rabble-rousers in particular, anybody who was high profile in the conflict, he just said, just send them. And so he kicked him out. It is most likely that Aquila and Priscilla were already believers, that they were in Rome, that they were sharing the gospel in the synagogue with other Jews, causing controversy, and that they got kicked out and they went to Corinth. And there they were, and Paul heard about them. Paul went to Corinth, and he's checking around talking. Oh, well, there's these people kind of like you over here, Aquila and Priscilla. Go check them out. And they're tent makers like Paul. That's what he does on the side. That's what he does with his hands, and he helps to provide for his ministry by that. And so he goes and he checks it out. Isn't that interesting? How did they become Christians? And how did Aquila and Priscilla come to faith in Christ? Amazing stories. The book of Acts. Go back again. Now you got to follow this, okay? You got to. All right, this isn't just easy fill in the blank stuff. You got to just pay attention here. Acts chapter 2. Acts 2. 8 through 11. Remember I told you about the miracle of the day of Pentecost and how the power of God came on the church. They begin to speak in all different languages, the gift of tongues, and they're speaking in all these languages, and all these people are overhearing the praise of God in different languages. And then it tells us here in Acts 2:8, how is it that each of us hears them in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia. Pontus and Asia. Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, and visitors from Rome. Who was in the crowd that day? The day of Pentecost, when the power of God came on the church. That day when Peter got up and preached his first sermon, who was in the crowd? There were visitors from all over. They had come to Jerusalem to worship the Feast of Tabernacles. And there they are, this big crowd, and this commotion happens, and all these languages and all this praise of God, and Peter's going to get up and preach the gospel. Who is there? Visitors from Pontus were there. Is it possible that it was Aquila and Priscilla who were there? Well, it also says visitors from Rome. Is it possible that that they had already moved from Pontus to Rome, and then they were there visiting now from Rome, and then they went back with the gospel? Very possible. I don't know the exact detail, but I know this. It's something like that. This amazing story of how the Lord brings people to faith in Jesus Christ. For Paul, it was getting knocked on his rear end and seeing a vision of the Lord Jesus Christ and being scared to death and being struck blind for 3 days. That's what it took for Paul. Priscilla and Aquila, perhaps the day of Pentecost, and seeing the demonstration of God's power, people in worship and hearing the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and it changed their lives forever. And they went back to Rome and they began to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, and then the Lord had them expelled through Claudius, and they went to Corinth, and there they met Paul. Is it all coincidence? How does God lead our lives? How does God work in His church? You have to be open to the leading of the Lord, to the supernatural guidance and leading of the Lord. We will find Priscilla and Aquila now going on to Ephesus with the Apostle Paul, working with him there, helping to train a man named Apollos, who was another great defender of the faith, and then later in their lives, back in Rome again, the Lord working in lives. Amazing stories. Let's read on, Acts chapter 18. When Silas and Timothy came from Macedonia, Paul devoted himself exclusively to preaching, testifying to the Jews that Jesus was the Christ. He's just preaching the gospel. And Silas and Timothy now have come from Macedonia. Silas and Timothy were his partners in ministry, and they had been left up in Macedonia in the churches up there to help out and help get things established. Now they followed him down, and they came and found him in Corinth. Silas and Timothy. Let me tell you a little bit about Timothy. How did Timothy come to faith in Jesus Christ? Completely different story. Completely different story. The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy, in chapter 1, a little bit about his story. 2 Timothy 1:5. Paul says to him, "I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded that now lives in you also." Later in chapter 3 of that same book, he talks to Timothy about how from an infant, from his infancy, he knew the scriptures that were able to lead him to salvation in Jesus Christ. This is a young man who was raised in a Christian family, a Christian home. This is a guy who grew up listening to the Word of God. And it is no less the power of God at work in his life, calling him to faith in Jesus Christ. Because it's a miracle of the Holy Spirit to open our hearts to faith. Anybody. It's a total miracle of the Lord. And so, interesting story. Timothy, raised in a godly home, comes to faith in Jesus Christ. Paul meets him on his missionary journey and says, "I could use a young man like this." Timothy was a young guy whose mother was Jewish, but his father was a Gentile. So he's half Jewish. Because he's half Jewish, he was not circumcised. Great guy, loves the Lord, knows the Word, wants to serve. Paul says, "I could use a guy like this. I want him to come with me." And he says, "But one thing, I think because we're ministering to a lot of Jews, it'd be a lot better if he was circumcised." So he took him and he circumcised him. And now that's commitment. And this teenager, he says, "You know, I got a great ministry for you." He pulls out a knife. "But it's going to cost you." It's like, whoa, all right, good. Praise the Lord. And he was circumcised and he began to travel with Paul. And God used him to transform the world. Timothy is so much different than Paul. The Bible tells us that Timothy was someone who was naturally timid in his spirit. 2 Timothy 1:7, Paul says to Timothy, God has not given us a spirit of fear or of being timid, but of power. But naturally, he was more timid as an individual. And God used him in the most powerful way. All of these stories. You know, I look around and I think, if I'm going to name names, if I'm going to look at lives and say, all these people that God used in the first century at Corinth, all these people sitting in this room, there's so many different stories, there's so many different people, there's so many different backgrounds, and the Lord brings all these different people together and says, I'm going to use you powerfully for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's go on, Acts 18. He's preaching Christ in verse 6, but when the Jews opposed Paul and became abusive, he shook out his clothes in protest and said to them, your blood be upon your own heads. I am clear of my responsibility. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles. And then Paul left the synagogue and went next door to the house of Titius Justus, a worshiper of God. Titius Justus. Now, this guy lives next door. He didn't go far. With Paul the controversialist, you know, he's causing controversy and everyone's all up in arms. He says, fine, I'll leave. I'll go 15 feet away. I'm over here. Talk real loud. They can hear me over at the synagogue. Titius Justus. He's a worshiper of God. He's a God-fearer. It's a technical term. It means a Gentile who was going to the Jewish synagogue, who was interested in Judaism, but did not want to become fully committed to Judaism. And one of the reasons why is didn't want to get circumcised. So, well, I really kind of like Judaism, but not that much. I don't think so. But he was sympathetic to the cause, so he's there and he's listening, and Paul comes along. And Paul is preaching Christ, and he says, this is good news. I like the sound of that. Paul says, can we meet in your house? Yeah, great. Comes over, meets in his house. The Lord begins to work in his life through the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then in verse 8 it says, Crispus, the synagogue ruler, and his entire household believed in the Lord, and many of the Corinthians who heard him believed and were baptized. Now, Crispus is actually the head guy at the synagogue. And after the controversy, and then after Paul leaves and goes next door, and he's doing Bible studies over there, after all that, Crispus, he must have been listening in. He must have been sympathetic, going, oh, it sounds right, it sounds good. He must have checked it out in the Scriptures, and he came to faith in Jesus Christ, and his whole household did, and they were baptized. And you see what's happening? The power of God is at work, and God is beginning to do an amazing work in this place. But it is never without controversy. It is impossible to be a follower of Jesus Christ, to follow in the way of Jesus in a fallen culture without creating some amount of controversy. It's just the way that it is. Paul was the great controversialist. And now Crispus has come to faith, the ruler of the synagogue. It's causing quite a stir in this town. In verse 9, one night the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision and said, do not be afraid. Keep on speaking. Do not be silent. For I am with you, and no one is going to attack and harm you, because I have many people in this city. And so Paul stayed for a year and a half teaching them the word of God. Isn't this a touching verse? There's a lot of controversy getting stirred up. Now, Paul says, you know, I've kind of been down this road before. Paul has already been stoned once, the city of Derbe. He was stoned there. He was left for dead. He came to a place and they began to minister, and God used them to heal a man who was crippled from his birth. And the people said, the gods have come down to us in human flesh, and they began to worship Paul. Paul said, don't worship me. I'm just a man like you. Worship God. And he preached the gospel. And the Jews came along and poisoned the people. And the next thing you do, they drug him out of town and they stoned him and left him for dead. I mean, that's a fall from grace. You go from the heights of people who are worshiping you as God, and then the next minute they're throwing rocks at you to kill you. All right. That's intense. He had been beaten at Philippi and put in stocks, locked in the dungeon. You know, Paul, it was real. And so he's nervous. He says, I've seen controversy happen before. I know where this leads. This is going to be brutal. This is going to hurt. And God says, I got you covered. No one's going to hurt you in this town. And isn't this a wonderful phrase? He says, I have many people in this city at the end of verse 10. I have many people in this city. And who are those people? I mean, who are they? God says, I have names named. I have people in this town who are ready to come to faith in Jesus Christ. There are many people. I'm at work in their lives right now. Here's what you need to know. God is at work in the lives of people all around you right now. He's working. He's drawing. He's calling them by name to faith in Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad that somebody came and told you about Jesus Christ? Whether it was a coworker or a friend or your own family members, your parents, that somebody told you about Jesus Christ. God had prepared your heart, and then somebody told you about Jesus. There are many people in this town. The Lord knows them by name. He's calling them to faith in Jesus Christ. That's exciting. It's powerful. And it's the truth. We need to believe that as we follow him. Verse 12, while Gallio was proconsul of Achaia, the Jews made a united attack on Paul and brought him into court. Now, God had said he's not going to get hurt, but now he's under attack. This man, they charged, is persuading the people to worship God in ways contrary to the law. Just as Paul was about to speak, Gallio said to the Jews, if you Jews were making a complaint about some misdemeanor or serious crime, it would be reasonable for me to listen to you. But since it involves questions about words and names and your own law, settle the matter yourselves. I will not be a judge of such things. And so he had them ejected from the court. Then they all turned on Sosthenes, the synagogue ruler, and beat him in front of the court. But Gallio showed no concern whatever. So the Jews dragged Paul into the court. We know where that is in Corinth. You can go and see the place where he was out in this forum. And everyone is screaming and shouting, and they're hurling accusations at Paul, and they think that Paul is going to end up getting beaten. But Gallio says, I don't care. But this is a Jewish matter. It's just like in Rome. When Claudius said, you know, Crestus, names, Christ, Jews, what are you people talking about? Get out of here. Leave. I don't want to deal with this. That's what Gallio says. He says, what are you guys doing? It just sounds like Jews arguing about names. So I don't want to talk about it. And so he let Paul go. So what did the crowd do? They're so frustrated. They took Sosthenes, who evidently got Crispus's old job, and they just beat the crud out of him. They just beat the guy. Conversion by beating. Is that it? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and our brother Sosthenes. Sosthenes became a believer in Jesus Christ. He got turned on by his own people. Became a believer in Jesus Christ. What an amazing story. The way that the Lord brings people to faith in Jesus Christ. I read the story about an Islamic scholar who was teaching in Cairo, and he began to question the Quran, which is not a good idea over there. Began to question the Quran. He got thrown into prison and tortured. He was beaten by his fellow Muslims because he was questioning the Quran, and he was an Islamic scholar. As a young boy, this man had gone after the Christians. He actually put some kind of a explosive device in the saddlebags of a Christian priest who was going by one day. And when it went off, this little explosion, he got bucked off and he got hurt really bad. And later that priest came back to him and said, I want you to know that I forgive you. In the name of Jesus Christ. And he shook it off. He was all mad. But later in his life, while he was being tortured by his own people for daring to question the Quran, his mind went back to that earlier incident where the love of a Christian man and the forgiveness granted in the name of Jesus Christ was extended to him. And it made a radical impact on his life. He soon began investigating the gospel of Jesus Christ, and he himself came to be a believer in Jesus Christ. Isn't that an amazing story? This is so many stories. What does it take? How does God work? I can guarantee this in your life. God is working to draw each and every one of us to faith in Jesus Christ. You have your story to tell of how God brought you to faith in Christ, or how he is bringing you to faith in Christ. Maybe there's names involved. John Snyder, my friend in high school, who invited me to the youth group and kept sharing Christ with me when I was belligerent and mean to him. Major impact upon my life. Do you have a story? Do you have a name of somebody who has shared Christ with you? Maybe the Lord spoke directly to you, like the Apostle Paul. Ann Warden shared her testimony with us and said how she was completely secular, completely away from God, no thought of God, and her life was falling apart in complete shambles, and the Spirit of God spoke to her heart and said, you need to get up and go to a church. And she ignored it, and the next day, the voice of God spoke to her again and said, you need to get up and go to a church, and she did. She got up and she went and she found a church to go into. It was the beginning of her journey of coming to faith in Jesus Christ. God works in amazing ways. There are many people in the city that God has, that God is calling. They're all around you. It's so exciting to be a part of it. The power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be holy, together with all those everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. God takes individual lives and calls them together to be a community of faith in Christ that will be different than the world around them. All right, that's the premise of this whole thing. God calls you to faith in Christ, then he calls you to be a part of a community of believers in Jesus Christ. It's called the Church of God. And he says, this community is going to be different than the world around. It's going to be a transformed community. It's going to be a community that follows Jesus Christ in a unique way, following the way of Christ while living in a fallen world. And that's what this next verse is about. The Church of God in Corinth, a group of people who belong to God through Christ. They live in Corinth, but they belong to God. They are sanctified in Christ Jesus, which means they're set apart and they're called to be holy. They're called to be different. They're called to be transformed. And different than the world. That's what God has called us to in our lives. And as he transforms our lives, he makes us agents of his transforming love and grace in the world around us. Being a believer at Corinth was especially difficult. Next week, we're going to look at Corinth and why it is that Corinth was so very similar to Portland. Why is it that Corinth was so very similar to the culture that we live in the United States of America? Why it is that Corinth was perhaps the most difficult place of all to be an on-fire Christian who's following in the way of Jesus Christ? Tough going. Tough going. I have a book called After Paul Left Corinth, and basically he was there for a year and a half. He got things on a good foundation, and the whole thing started unraveling. The whole thing. The Christians just begin to immediately go back to their old ways and to go back to the ways of the culture around them, and so that they were being transformed by the culture instead of being transformed and transforming the culture through Christ. Next week we're going to look at that, and you're going to see why this is so amazingly relevant to all of our lives. But here's where I want us just to start. I want you to pray. I want you to pray. God, send your power. Send your power in my life, Lord. Lord, allow me to become a deep believer in Jesus Christ. Answer that call to be a deep, committed believer in Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray that you'll work in our community and that our community, this church, will be the church of God in Portland. sanctified, holy, different, and therefore having an impact on the world. I want us to pray together and expect the Lord to do great things. Let's take a minute and pray right now. Father, I thank you for your call in my own life. I thank you, Lord, for the gift of faith. I thank you, Lord, for those people that you have brought around me through the years who have shared faith with me, who have lived out their faith in front of me, who have included me in the community of faith. And I thank you, Lord, for River West Church and each person, Lord, that you have drawn here. You have a story, Lord, for them. Your work in their lives. You know what they need, Lord, if it's a vision from heaven or a voice in their heart, or if it's just an encounter with Scripture or the testimony of a friend or family. You know what it is, Lord. And Lord, I pray that they might embrace that story, that they might believe in your work in their lives. And that, Lord, you would also open our hearts to see that you're working in lives all around us. You're going ahead of us. You're preparing the way, Lord. Now, Lord, would you help us to build community here, to build a group of people, Lord, who are truly different. I thank you for it, Lord. Lord, I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.